Common Council to order. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Olson.
Here.
Alderman Solomon.
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Here.
Alderman Skransky.
Aye.
Please rise, join me in the pledge of allegiance to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There's no objection. I'm going to move down to item G2. We have a very special person here today along with his family members. And I'd like to call Chief Martins up on behalf of the Common Council. Maybe your wife and daughter would like to come up as well. I'm wondering if the chairman of the Fire and Police Commission would come up as well. And, how about the president of the Firefighters Association, Bob Inkley? I need some help. First of all, I am so lucky as a mayor in Wisconsin to have the honor serving next to and having a fire chief of Jim Martin's caliber. I just can't tell you. It's, Jim's departure from Franklin is going to create a very, very large vacuum. Although I don't think he's going to be going too far. But I wanted to say that. I also want to say that I also have the honor of serving with a city attorney that is probably one of the more gifted individuals as far as writing skills. And I'd like to take credit for this resolution I'm about to read. In fact, I'm going to ask Bob, two Bobs here, to help me read this resolution, parts that Jesse Wesolowski put together, and I want to personally thank him for all of his efforts. If my voice lasts. This is a resolution honoring the lifetime of public service performed by the City of Franklin Fire Department Chief James Martins upon his retirement as a firefighter. Whereas Franklin Fire Chief James Jim Martins has been a firefighter for four decades, back to the days when he was a fireman, and it was 24 on, 24 off, with those occasional 72s. And whereas Chief Martins has essentially been on call his entire adult life, with his purpose of existence being the care for, protection of, and the saving of others in times of calamity and misfortune, and his work towards the prevention of such circumstances from which those devastations might arise. And whereas the chief worked his way up the ladder from the purple and white of boys tech football to the Fire Science Services Bachelor of Science degree at Saluki maroon and white to the fireman's red. And whereas Jim Martins climbed the ladder to the position of chief in two of the 20 of Wisconsin's largest cities, Milwaukee and Franklin, due not only to his primary purpose of the care for and the protection of others, but also due to his intelligence, civility, and class, demonstrating his leadership and knowledge of the facts of life with regard to the administration of and the cost of service, not the least was which was having been the chief of the chiefs on behalf of the 19 Milwaukee County municipalities as the leader in working with Milwaukee County to maintain the emergency medical services program with the municipalities in the county over time. I can tell you firsthand, if it wasn't for Jim Martins, we would not have an EMS paramedic program. Whereas the Common Council recognizes the firefighter's prayer, I'm going to ask Bob Donahue to start to read the prayer.
When I'm called to duty, God, wherever flames my rage, give me strength to save a life, whatever be its age. Help me to embrace a little child before it is too late, to save an older person from the horror of that fate. Enable me to be alert, hear the weakest shout, and quickly and efficiently put the fire out.
I want to fill my calling and to give the best in me to guard my neighbor and protect his property.
And if according to your will I have to lose my life, bless with your protecting and my child and my wife.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob. Whereas Chief Martins has decided that it is time to retire, we wish he would change his mind. And he has earned it. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Mayor and Common Council of the City of Franklin, Wisconsin, that the city hereby respectfully honors Fire Chief James Martins upon his retirement for his lifelong service to the public and his commitment to duty, and be it further resolved that upon the date of Chief Martins' last day of service as Chief, December 12, 2012, service calls and duty permitting, the City of Franklin Fire Department is hereby requested to ring the fire bell 12 times and 12 times and 12 times in the Chief's honor. Introduced at a regular meeting of the Common Council of the City of Franklin this 4th day of December 2012, passed and adopted at a regular meeting of the Common Council of the City of Franklin this 4th day of December 2012, signed and approved, Mayor Thomas M. Taylor. Congratulations.
Thank you enough. It's been an honor and a privilege to have been the chief of the City of Franklin. I've enjoyed my career in the fire service. It's hard to believe it's been 4 decades, but it is what it is. Just a couple of stories here with the Common Council. When I became chief, my first year and a half, I tried to attend as many council meetings as I could to kind of learn as much as I could about the city coming from Milwaukee, and kind of pick up some of the nuances of interacting with the Common Council. Watching Jack Bennett was a real study and was much appreciated. But the big thing was that as I appeared before the council on many issues over the years, I always had somebody would always ask me a question that I just wasn't prepared for. I'd go back, if the next issue came up, and I'd sit down with my staff, and I said, now, we got to try to hit every possible questions we can be asked so we can answer it intelligently and not get backed into a corner by these guys. But then Lyle Soames came on, and he was very gifted at asking questions that were just tough to come up with a good, smart answer, but he managed to do it. The second thing was our city attorney, Jesse Wesolowski, who sits up there every meeting that I've ever been at.
Not last night, okay.
And he always has the same expression on his face. Debates go on for hours sometimes. And all of a sudden, out of clear blue sky, either the mayor or one of the council members will ask him something. Boom, he hits the answer. I've been thinking about my golf game or what the Packers did on Sunday or what I'm going to do tomorrow. But Jesse never missed a beat.
It's my job.
I want to thank the mayor for his strong support of the fire department and public safety in Franklin, Mr. Mayor. Fred Clements, who was here when I came, I welcomed me with open arms and had the same philosophy that public safety was important to the community. The Common Council, the ones that are here today and the ones that I worked with prior to this, we may not have always agreed on everything, but our hearts are always in the right place, I believe, and it was what was best for the city. So, I want to assure the public that the fire department's in good hands. We have the most dedicated, professional, and talented firefighter paramedics and firefighter EMTs anywhere. And if you have to call 911, I hope you do not, but if you do, you're going to get the best of the best. Thank you very much.
Mr. Mayor, the resolution required a motion, so I so move to adopt the resolution.
Second. Thank you, Chief.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thanks, Gavin. The motion is carried.
For the record, I didn't have a microphone out there. I really would like to thank Bonnie for all the nights and all the weekends where your husband had to go to emergency situations, and I know that you wondered many, many times if he would return back to you. So on behalf of the 35,000 people of Franklin, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Alderman Solomon.
Bonnie also serves on the library board. So it's called helping out wherever the family can. So thank you.
All right. Alderman Olson.
As some of you know, I announced yesterday that I would not be running for alderman, so there's your next job, Jim.
I already talked to him. All right. Anything further? Alderman Skansky?
No. All right. We'll miss you, Jim. We'll miss you.
Go back to the regular order of council agenda. I understand there's probably going to be some more activities for Jim, so I have a feeling there's going to be quite a few people turning out, Jim. Citizens' comment period. Is there anyone wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period?
Mayor, members of the Common Council, my name is Scott Royer. I'm president and general manager of Gateway Water, Milwaukee. And first thing I'd like to say is I'd like to congratulate Chief Martins again. Having been the recipient of paramedic services twice in my life, I appreciate the things that, that you guys do. Congratulations. Also, you know what we do in Veolia is a public service, and I appreciate the level of service that people like the chief and Jack Bennett, who has spent a long career here in Franklin as the engineer. What we talk about within Veolia is customer service, and that's what all these people are doing. Okay. What I'd like to do also is introduce a couple of other Veolia members of my team. Rudy Stein is our underground asset manager for the central region of the United States, so he provides support to us in Milwaukee, our project in Milwaukee, as well as projects throughout the central U.S. and Canada. And then also Leo Prusi. Leo's an area manager, and actually Leo has been working with me on Milwaukee since we started with MMSD in 2008. I'd just like to briefly talk a little bit about Veolia and who we are. I know you have a full agenda, so it won't take much time. On the upper scale, Veolia Water is a global company of about 93,000 people. In the U.S. and Canada, we have about 3,000 people. Here in Milwaukee, at Veolia Water Milwaukee, where we operate the MMSD system, we have about 225 people. And some of those employees started out as MMSD employees and remain as our employees as well. A little bit about the company. We've been in business. The water company has been in business for upwards of 150 years. We operate water plants, wastewater treatment plants, as well as underground infrastructure around the globe. We manage approximately 400,000 miles of underground pipe, water pipe, and sewer pipe throughout the world. We manage about 3,000 miles of pipe in the U.S. And again, our forte is water, as you can imagine, from the Veolia Water. And what I think we bring is the ability to bring the technology that we've developed over the last 150 years, as well as management techniques and management systems that come into play to help cities like Franklin manage their underground systems as well as their underground systems. And I think the only other thing I'll bring up is that we have some folders that we put in your mail mailboxes to provide a little bit more information about Veolia.
Great. Thank you very much. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Anyone else wishing to speak? If not, I'm going to close the citizens' comment period. And you have a letter under announcements from the Southeastern Regional Planning Commission regarding their 2011 report. The letter, as you can see, was addressed both to me and to the Common Council. Points as to if you want to review the annual report, you can do so. It's probably a very interesting report. Item BD is a letter from Scott Royer, President and General Manager of Veolia Water. It's no coincidence that Mr. Royer is here tonight. I have spoken in the past about the that I went down to Racine and attended a meeting of the U.S. mayors, their water council, national water council. At that meeting, one of the presenters was from Veolia Water International. And what they introduced there was that their leading-edge concepts on water technology and water management, which is, I don't think there's probably any other country in the world that is doing, I'll call it just-in-time water management with automated control systems. And as we've looked at many reports in the past about the southwest quadrant of the city of Franklin, we know that there is going to be a need for water in that area. We also, my opinion is that the city needs to take an aggressive look at water storage and wastewater treatment for the future. So, like I said, it's no accident that they are here. There's also, you may have heard from time to time, there's been some discussion about the city of Oak Creek, city of Milwaukee, wanting to provide Waukesha with water. If, in fact, the common councils of the various communities decide that that's something that can be done and the Great Lakes Compact provides for it, there's probably going to be a great need for water management expertise. So with that, I just wanted to express my thanks to Mr. Royer for coming forward. And I really did appreciate all of the information that I garnered from that two-day seminar down in Racine, and was really very impressed with the presentation that was made that day. So thank you. Any questions on that? Thank you very much. You have before you the regular meeting of November 13th, 2012.
I'll move.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. You have item E1A. Let the record reflect that Alderman Olson has moved into the audience, as he has, I think, on every Board Franklin issue, if I remember. Not the last meeting. Okay. Is there a motion to approve Mike Soto as their... Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman
Scranton. Aye. Five ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carries. You have before you the name of Randy Rogowski, Board of Public Works.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Scranton.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
No.
Aye.
Five ayes, one no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. You have the name of Marvin Wolf for Board of Public Works in front of you. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
And moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Scranton.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Before we leave boards and commissions, in the should any member of the Common Council have some issues with members who sit on boards or commissions, my door is wide open to discuss any of at any time. How members may be conducting themselves, or if they're treating the Common Council members with respect and dignity. And so I raise that tonight because I think it's appropriate. Item G, reports, recommendations, consent agenda. Items A and B, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. We did item two. Item three, approval to relocate remaining capital budget funding in the amount of...
So moved. Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item G4, selection of stop loss, life and accidental death and dismemberment and long term disability insurance carriers.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Mr. Liberto.
I would request that the Common Council consider one change. When I brought this to the Personnel Committee, this is specifically in regard to the voluntary long term disability insurance program. When I brought it to the Personnel Committee at the time, we brought it keeping the terms of the policy the same. Historically, all employees have been under a 90-day period. It's called an elimination period before it kicks in, except for the fire department, which has always been 180 days. And that's what I had suggested to the Personnel Committee just for consistency. It's always been that way. But in retrospect, as I've looked into it a little further, that also means that the fire department command staff are the only supervisors who are being treated differently than all the other supervisors. In this particular year, the premiums, as we move to a new carrier, are going down slightly over 20%, whereas we can bring that group, which would have to be the entire department, up to the same level as everybody else with a very small increase. So we can move them to that, and everyone will still see a premium discount. It doesn't affect the city budget because this is fully funded by any employee who elects to participate. To make that happen, after the words 2013 and 2014, in the recommended motion, you would add the words, with all employees having a 90-day elimination period. And that would be my recommendation.
I'm fine with that, Your Honor.
Okay. There was a motion made the second, and the second is saying that she is in agreement as well. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 5, City Franklin Audit Agreement with Clifton Gunderson, LLP, in the City of Franklin for audit of the 2012 year. Questions?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 6, request from the Common Council approval of the administrative rules and procedures for the Quarry Monitoring Committee of the City of Franklin. Alderman Solomon, there's a motion to approve. Is there a second? Okay. Under discussion, Alderman Solomon, Alderman Wilhelm, then Alderman Solomon.
There's just a typo on the pages that staff correct. It's a spacing typo.
Okay. Alderman Solomon?
Yeah, I have a problem with one of the paragraphs. Since this is a recommending body to the Common Council, I don't want them going off and thinking that they can spend money without coming back to the Common Council. And one of the things that we had here was, I think the last...
Which item?
Article
6.
11, or I'm sorry, Article 9. No, it's not Article 9. I'm sorry, I lost it. But it amounts What it amounted to was they could go out and get consultation with
section
other,
two.
Other entities.
Page 46, it's section 2, second paragraph from the top. Any member of the committee may, upon consultation with the chair.
There was something about going outside, the, and I just don't want them to think that they can spend money without coming back to the panel council. Go ahead.
Alderman Olson.
Mr. Mayor, thank you. We've got a couple of issues here that are more procedural. Page 44, section 2, which deals with quorum, the rules specify a quorum of three. I know that many committees have had issues with quorum, so I would suggest some different language that I'm not bright enough to figure out. But nailing it to three might be some change. They can do it in some committee, but I raise that as an issue. Also on page 45, section 5, there's two notations there about appointment of the chair and vice chair. The words appointed ought to be changed to elect. That's a true
concern. Okay. Who's the maker of the motion? Do you have any problems with the suggestions? Or?
No, I would make the motion as amended.
Alderman Wilhelm?
I'm fine with the changes. I'm not sure what to say about the quorum issues. There's only five total members on there. So
the only real motion I made was for section 5.
I'm fine with that. The one issue, if Alderman Salmon can't find what he was concerned about, maybe the section where it reads, the committee shall be subject to the authority of the Common Council. All determinations of the committee shall be advisory only to the Common Council. Maybe that helps eliminate that the committee doesn't have money anyway to spend, so it's not been approved. It's not budgeted. It's not involved.
Okay.
Any
funds? I'm satisfied with that.
Okay.
The motion on the floor has been seconded as amended. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, 6 ayes, no noes. I just have it. Motion carries. Alderman Olson.
A general comment relative to committees and commissioners and assigning them a monthly or bi-monthly meeting. I think this common council or the next one ought to strongly consider revising that to be somewhat less specific. Our technology committee, we don't have a lot of things to do all the time. So perhaps less
call the
less
chair.
Call of the chair or a bi month, something like that in the future.
I would really appreciate that because with the limited staff that we have, we're holding meetings and scheduling meetings and
just to have meetings.
Just to have meetings.
And this committee is a prime example. There may be an occasion where they need to meet. Or during the winter,
never.
Okay. I would be fine with you making that suggestion for this one. I would be fine.
Do you want to make an amended motion?
I'll get it.
Or make a new one? But
just make a new motion. Yeah, be better.
Okay, I'll just change section 1 on page 45 to meetings of the commission shall be the subject of the call of the chair.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right. For discussion, seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. By the way, I'd like to wish you all happy holidays.
You got one more.
You never know, you know.
Never know.
Make
the college chair.
Let's see. Item 7, resolution amending code enforcement policies and procedures. Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, this kind of came to me at a last minute, so I didn't have a chance to look at a lot of the changes. So if the council wanted to table it, I would be okay with that. However, I might be able to
second.
Make the changes. I'd like to continue with what I was going to say first.
You have the floor.
So on section one, it's pretty self-explanatory. Section two, some changes were made after discussion with the clerk and Jody on the tracking. I also talked to Mark and Lisa on that one. So you'll have the revisions for the changes on that. Section three covers the alderman contact with constituents, just so aldermen know that they're not cut out of the process to help their constituents. Section four, I'm going to skip for now. Section 5 covers the estimated department time frame to handle complaint, and if they have a difficulty, how they would handle that for timeline difficulties. Section 6 covers department's process for citations as needed if they determine a citation is warranted, and that's only through the department that makes that decision. Section 7 covers communication with the city attorney's office once a citation is done. Section 8 covers enforcement by the city attorney's office. And Section 9 covers the alderman notification of any actions being taken. Now I'd like to go back to Section 4. There's been a little bit of back and forth. Mr. LaBert and I have talked about the interest of the customer service for city departments taking complaints directly. My concern is that they don't get logged into the city process that way. And so I would make a cross out of quite a bit of wording there and just have it say, in the interest of customer service, city departments are expected to inform a citizen of the availability of the complaint submission process. And just leave it at that. So if someone calls and they can't quickly handle and answer the question over the phone, that they can say, please fill out a complaint form and make it very simple and eliminate all the rest of the wording. So if the council members aren't okay with making those changes, then I'll let someone make the motion to table and I would second that. I'll let you discuss it.
Yeah. Alderman Skransky and Alderman Olson.
Yeah, on item three, or item two, bottom line, the identity of all complainants shall not be released. It should be released. Remove not. I think it's time that if somebody's going to complain, let them stand up and be recognized. I don't see any problem with that. I would like to enter that to have the not removed from this item. It's not necessary that, if somebody complains, let them put their name down, let them know who it is. And right now.
Alderman Skransky, you have the floor.
It's that anybody complains, they don't know who it is unless they go to court. Years back, it was open, and it was one alderman at the time wanted this for identity purposes. He didn't want to be recognized. I don't think here we're here to recognize and take care of our constituents. And you know, sometimes it's just somebody writes this out just because they can write it out. And most of us as aldermen, if there is a complaint, we listen to it. And I think in most cases, we can get it resolved even before it comes on the paper, if we know about it. But if it comes to paper, let the person stand up, and I'd like that removed. Not. It should be shall be released, can be released, but there's nothing wrong with it.
Alderman Olson, Alderman Solomon, Alderman Wilbur.
Okay. I would have one wording suggestion. It's stylistically, it makes it read better and more complete. In paragraph 2 on the first page, in the additions, clerk's department shall also ensure that the complaint is recorded, insert the word recorded, within the city complaint record. That would be the only suggestion I would have to recommend. Frankly, I'm not sure how I feel about Alderman Skransky's suggested motion. The concern I have about anonymity is not with reporting it to the supposed violator. It's getting false complaints, each of he said, she said complaints. So I guess my initial blush is I'm good with the way it is now, requiring that all complaints be signed by an individual. I'm wondering if it would have a chilling effect if we released their names regularly. I understand where all of Mrs. Perensky is coming from, but I guess I would say I would prefer to leave names anonymous.
Alderman Solomon, Alderman Wilhelm.
I would concur with most of that. Sometimes I'll get a call where it's neighbors that don't get along, and they're afraid of reprisals. Old man like myself with teenage kids next door, I may not want to file complaints against the next door neighbor. So I, as an alderman, I'm called on sometimes. Could I follow up and file the complaint? That's what I do occasionally, but only after tried tribulations are vetted as much as possible. If it's unresolvable, then it needs to get into the system, and I'll sign that complaint myself, and then the individual doesn't have to hopefully not get any reprisals.
Well, any time that anybody brings anything in, it's open for debate. Any changes are appropriate. Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, if we were to go with the suggestion of having everyone release their names, we would have to go back and change the adopted resolution passed in 1991, where this policy has in place. On page 55 in your council packet, item 5 reads, a complainant's name shall not be released except where required by court process. So if that language would be better to insert instead of the identity of all complaints should not be released in accordance with the resolution, we could insert the language, but basically it says the same thing. When the attorney's office wrote this up, he wasn't even going to mention that because he felt it referred already to the resolution, and it says that, number one, says the resolution from 1991 remains in effect. But I felt rather than having to have someone go back and look up resolution 91-36-35 back from 1991, it would be easier to state that right away directly in this document, and then people wouldn't be fishing and trying to figure out that process. But to me, the way it goes now, you sign the complaint, whether it's the alderman or the citizen. Lisa knows who the complaint is. Mark Liberta knows who it is if he wants to. The clerk's office, Jody, who enters it, sees that the clerk has access to that. The mayor has access to that. Every department head has access to the name. The only people that aren't told who it is are the people that are getting the complaint about, or if someone comes in and just wants to make an open records request. So it's in-house. Everyone knows who the complaint is. I think that's adequate. I would hate to see it too politicized. It's that person or that person. I think staff has enough sense to understand if it's a legitimate complaint or not. I think they have quite a bit of experience with this. So I like the process. It seems to be working since 1991, and I would suggest that we keep that in mind.
Okay. Alderman Skrowski.
Well, I respect the opinions of my colleagues up here, but everybody knows about it, but the people, but the six of us that are seven of us that represents the constituents, why don't we know about it? And so we can justify, and we can probably defuse a lot of things by either knowing the people, being the mediator, going out and seeing what it is. I don't have a problem with that. I've had a lot of these with people, and we got it before we even got the paper. But the thing is, when it gets on the paper, and then you see it, and you have knowledge of what could have been taken care of, and then you don't know who's making the complaint, it puts us as automatic representatives of the people out there and saying, now do I have to go to court, or how do I have to find out? Everybody else knows about it. So I'm just saying, leave it open, leave it as an open record that we can justify. I have no problem going out with meeting with my constituents and talking about it. God knows we all have these matches, whether one neighbor is against the other neighbor or because they don't like their dog or something like this, and this stuff comes up. I just think it's much more open. It can defuse things, and it can eliminate people just doing it, as we all know, to spite. Well, I'm going to sign a complaint because I didn't like because he let the dog off this afternoon or something like that. I don't think it's so. I would like to see the not removed. And I don't see any reason why, just because it was done in 91, and I know very well why it was done, and I don't see any justification for it. Thank you.
Alderman Olson, Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I think I now understand one half of your argument, which I agree with. The alderman ought to know the complaint, because perhaps the alderman can refuse it. And I don't think that's ever been an issue in the city that I know of.
For me, it has. Well, see, nobody had ever given me name.
Again, I said that I know.
I agree.
So as long as we have the understanding that the alderman can't know the complainant, I don't see the harm in leaving it as anonymous as opposed to the person who is being complained against. I think that ought to stay anonymous because I see nothing but trouble coming from letting that out unless there's court action. And by the way, before we take a vote, I'd like to know what's been approved and what hasn't been in terms of amendments.
Okay, and I thought the recommendation, I don't think we have a motion on the floor. We do. Motion to table?
No, there wasn't. That was
good. Yeah. I thought you said that if this or that or whatever. There would be a motion.
Alderman Taylor said
the table.
I would second it, but then we now gouge discussion on it.
Alderman Wilhelm, and I do have a couple things I'd like to say.
Motion is approved.
Pardon, what is the motion?
There is a motion.
Yes. Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, I guess there is a way that we could possibly add on the form. I talked about this with the quarry committee because the process of it is that the people remain anonymous. And what I learned at the quarry meeting was the complaints are coming in with the constituents thinking they're anonymous, and then they're automatically handed to the quarry people. And I thought you have two different processes going on. And are the people okay with you giving out their name to the person they're complaining against, which is the complete opposite of what you're doing at the city level? So one of the things we suggested was putting a check mark on there that says, I am okay with you releasing my name to the quarries. And then that way the constituents knows, and you've got permission from the constituents to do that. So we talked about the possibility. In the concern that Alderman Skoronski has, I can understand his validity on that, and maybe simple checkbox on there saying that the constituents are okay with the releasing that to the alderman, or if we just all agree upon that, I guess that's fine. It's not meant to exclude elected officials. It's just not supposed to go to the person who's getting the complaint, and if I have someone who's continuously parking on their driveway and the neighbors calling and saying they're parking on their driveway and then they find out who it is, then I'm going to have a big feud. And I don't really want those type of situations. So I think that's the reason why. I don't know the history. There must be some really bad history with this whole code enforcement policy and that. Sure. I'd rather not know that history because where I'm at, and as long as I've been involved, I think staff has been doing a good job in the processes that they're working. The problem came in, we have a really old memo that doesn't go along with anything that we're doing, and the whole thing is to just basically put in writing for everyone so they know the process and update the 1997 handling memo. That's really all we're trying to do. Not make changes to it. That wasn't my intent. So I'm going to make the motion to adopt the resolution for amending the code enforcement policies and procedures with the changes as amended in the item that was before us this evening, and also with the insertion of recorded in the sentence, the second to the last sentence. The changes to item 4, striking out everything from city department shall accept complaints related to. Do I have to read all that, or did I just say striking that those lines? So it will read, in the interest of customer service, city departments are expected to inform a citizen of the availability of a complaint submission process.
We have a motion on the floor. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Under session, Your Honor?
I was A-OK with tabling this, and I was going to recommend that it be tabled and referred back to all of the departments of the city for their review and recommendations regarding these changes. I see that in the write-up it says city attorney's office, police chief, Alderman Wilhelm. I did have a department today ask me some questions and had some concerns regarding item 5. I wanted to, depending on what happened with this discussion, I wanted to talk to Mr. Liberta about our current complaint process. I know that there's been a couple complaints since you put the complaint process in place. That was maybe, how many years ago was that, Mark? 5, 6?
It predated me.
Yeah, I know that there's been a couple, but I don't know that it's been a problem at all. Everybody's sort of A-OK with it. So I was going to ask that this item be tabled, referred back to all of the departments for their review, because it impacts all of them. It impacts all of their staffing.
I'll withdraw my motion and table it.
Second.
I had a couple other things. Right. I had the floor.
I apologize, Your Honor. You do have the floor.
It's Christmas time. I have a couple other things.
You do have
today.
The floor.
Yeah. Hey, so weighing in on the motion is one thing. I wanted to have a. Mark, as you know, has been consumed with the budget process and all of that, and I wanted to talk about our current complaint handling system. I really haven't had a whole lot of issues with it. In fact, one of the committee of the holes, we brought in all the complaints are outstanding. I think there were like 6 at that time. It seems to be working. So does it need a major overhaul? Probably not. In paragraph 5, it says, upon receipt of the complaint submission form, forcing shall investigate the complaint within 7 days. You know, if in fact this gets approved, I would ask that if minimum staffing is in the departments, you know, you don't want to have a 7-day requirement and... let's say this was at the fire department and we had a family sick leave issue and half the staff was out. Or if we had a situation with like the Sikh temple issue. I just like for some discretion in that. And then it says, any complaint found to be valid, who's going to determine whether it's valid? I think Alderman Wilhelm addressed that and said that it's not a problem. The department's been doing a pretty good job of it. But if we're going to make changes to this, since it hasn't been changed since 91, let's be clear about it. So I would suggest that that be the department head. The word appropriate is a loose term. Appropriate to who? So I want to have some more discussion. That's in line 3. I mean, do you want a response back from the departments, or do you actually want the situation to be resolved? Those two things are, I mean, the department head can just send you an email and say we're working on it, and that would, under this, it would fulfill the obligations of this section. So that's something else. City Attorney's Office, upon issuance of municipal citation, City Attorney's Office. I don't know, every time I talk to the city attorney, we're usually talking about major, major, major items, whether it be a Northwestern Mutual or a Wheaton Franciscan or water issues or, you know, sewer pipes or stuff like that. I'd like to get the feedback from the city attorney's office as to, you know, can you actually comply with these type restrictions, 7 days or not, or maybe have, you know, I think Mark, you're managing the complaint process now, right? Pretty much, even Sandy.
I just help ensure that the documentation from government, which Fred coordinates the government database, helps get distributed.
Okay. Yeah, I guess the last thing is that I wasn't around at the time, but I sure heard enough stories about this code enforcement officer, and that the person, from what I was told, I've never met the individual, but I've heard about this, that the person was all but carrying a weapon, was in a uniform. The people in the city absolutely hated the code enforcement officer. My understanding is there was an election for mayor over this issue, just this issue of getting rid of the code enforcement officer, because the people in Franklin hated it so much. So, I mean, you see in here the code enforcement officer shall not be uniformed. I mean, they had to put it as part of the ordinance to make sure that they could get some controls on this guy. And I think some of the stuff that's coming out, maybe that complaints shall not be released except where required by court process, that may also have been more of a political than it had to do with solid management practices. Last statement. We have grievance procedures. We have complaint procedures. There's 1,851 or so municipalities. I would ask that we take a look at these other municipalities or the League of Wisconsin Municipalities and find out how they handle this as far as the release of the names. Grievance procedures, unions won't even start a grievance process unless the names go on the grievance form. They won't even begin everything. They put that in the category of a gripe. So I like Alderman Skowronski, and I think half of what I'm hearing from Alderman Olson is, I think, you know, if you're going to file something, a city complaint, it's got to be valid and it's going to be solid, and don't file frivolous complaints. By not having to put your name on it, it sort of says, yeah, let's just throw one in there and see what happens with it, because nobody knows who's doing it. So that's my 2 cents worth.
Your Honor, we have Alderman Olson, Alderman Solomon, and Alderman Wilhelm.
Okay. Alderman Olson?
I'm good with tabling it. I'm good with having staff input. I go back to, it's not really broken, so let's not do any major changes here. My only issue with the current way we do things is the responses back from staff are less than informative, but you know what? At the end of the day, I'll get over it. Not a big deal, as long as we know things are done, it's fine. Relative to anonymity, again, got to be signed by the complainant, but let's not release it to the supposed violator. That's just saving ourselves a lot of headaches down the road, I think. I support the motion to table. I would like to see us maintain anonymity of the complainant to the complaint,
or
the subject of the complaint. But every time I get a constituent calling me, I file a complaint. It's great. You got to sign it. You'll be anonymous, but you got to sign the complaint. Got to have your name and address before me. How else are we going to follow up on it?
Can I ask you if you're tabling it and then asking for
Kristen did the motion.
No, that her motion was to approve, and then she
rescinded. Withdrawed the review.
Oh. Yeah.
So my one last thing is, somebody help me understand the logic in filing a quarry complaint, ostensibly for vibration, cracked walls, china falling off the walls, or dust, and being anonymous.
Yeah,
makes no sense to me, whatever.
Right.
And that would be the exception to this rule. I mean, come on, give me a break. What's the logic in that? Thank you.
So is there a motion?
Yes.
Well,
Alderman Solomon.
He was next, and then I was next, and I was going to make the motion.
I tried tabling this thing right away, because this has all just been trying to write this as we go.
It's good info.
It is a motion to table on the floor.
Yeah.
Alderman Solomon,
what do we do?
Thank you, sir. Some of us have our own court enforcement officers. Each district, you know, probably has somebody walking around the neighborhood.
Oh, you got one.
That's definitely anonymous.
I got it.
So some are more fortunate than others if you learn to ignore. I didn't say that.
Rick's not right.
I think it should be tabled. I think it right now, if I'm getting a complaint, I like getting the complaint in my mailbox. Okay, here's one I can look at. Here's one I can file. And the key is, once it's in the computer system, that it be updated. You know? It says, in some cases, they're not being updated. So I look at this, and it's 21 days old, and nobody's been out there yet. That's not service. Okay? I don't know that they've been out there unless they update the damn form. So that's what's got to be instilled in everybody. That's all I have to say. So whatever language comes out of this, that every customer contact needs to be put on that form. So I know somebody's been out there and somebody's working on it. Otherwise, I'm going to make the call and waste his time, just because somebody didn't put it on the form. And that takes time. It takes time away from staff. So the employees that do the work need to update the form. That's all I have to say.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, I really do appreciate us taking the time to discuss this. This is what discussion is for, is to hear people's ideas so we can incorporate those. I just want council to know there was no intention to have people become anonymous. Never was, not even tonight or at any point. People are signing. They're putting their names on them. I think it's a good process. And there were no intentions by me to change the process, only clarify. If anyone read the previous policies that are in place, you can clearly see that they are not what we're doing. And we had a little problem. The police chief was trying to resolve a complaint, and constituents were trying to ask, well, what's the next step? And we're trying to take them and show them what the policy is, and it's not even close to what we're doing. So the idea was to just clarify today's present policy. If people want to make other changes and make suggestions, they should contact Brian Sajak. He's the one who's been working on this. He was working on this issue. This is part two of part one, which was previous part we adopted on abatement. And he had it since August. It's been, you know, to his department a couple times. Had I gotten this at least one day prior to it being due on the council agenda, it probably wouldn't look like this. I would have had more time to talk to department heads. I got it at like 10:30 on Friday, the day the council agenda was due, and I wasn't going to say all that, but I want the council members to understand the time frame I was under trying to fix this. I did the best I could with the time frame that I had. I did contact several of the department heads and talk to them. It wasn't like I was just trying to push this through. You can ask the clerk. I almost had her pull it off the agenda completely, but she had already had the agenda made up. And so with that, I will make a motion to table this item to the next meeting, and I would request that the city attorney's office provide the document at least 2 days before it goes into the council packet.
Can I ask that as part of the motion to table and to refer back to staff for comments so that they get it in the minutes and the staff knows they got to get this stuff back here for the next council meeting?
Well, then, in that case, Mayor, I would prefer that the city attorney clean up the document based on what we have input tonight, then send that to the department heads, then send it back to me at least 2 days before it goes into the council packet, so then I can review that before I want it on the
That's
budget.
Very reasonable. Okay. So there's a motion to table, and it's been seconded. Alderman Skronsky?
Can that be pushed back to the second meeting in January? Because we got some pretty short days in between here,
yeah,
and to give everybody
first
time.
Of January.
How's about the second meeting in January?
That's fine.
All right. Would that be all right, Alderman? I guess the staff time because of everything.
Okay.
Holidays.
Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So we got a motion on the floor. It's been seconded.
Now we're doing it.
Any further?
Any
further second? All those in favor, please signify by saying
aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Okay. Item G8.
So moved.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item G9.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. And the motion is, so we're clear.
To authorize using those three contractors as consultants.
Okay. For 2013-2014.
Yeah.
It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item G10.
So moved.
Second.
Second. Any further discussion? Seeing none. Favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item G11.
So moved. So moved.
Second.
They're moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries.
Yes, sir.
Good job, Jack. We did the, we're on the counts, the committee of the whole, G12, recap civic celebrations, I think.
I'll make
no
a motion
additional.
To approve the request for $64,050 for 2013.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, under discussion, Mr. LeBert.
Looking at the insurance documents.
Subject to staff review to address insurance and liability requirements.
That's what I meant.
Right.
On top of that.
Okay. And that's the second? Okay. You're okay with it? Everybody okay? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. I believe item B was for informational purposes, unless anyone has. Parks Patrol.
Yeah, I'll make a. No, this is specific on the 911. I'll make a motion for maybe staff to work with, I think, maybe the police department, Alderman Olson, and myself to put together a resolution requesting Milwaukee County pay the city of Franklin for their 911 calls, answering their own 911 calls. I just got an email this evening stating that unless the county agrees to a 3-year agreement with the city of Milwaukee, per Tom Barrett's request, that all 911 calls will be rerouted back to the county and not be taken by the city of Milwaukee because they want a 3-year commitment of $463,000 a year. So if the board doesn't pass that, he's basically saying you're going to answer the city of Milwaukee's calls. So my recommendation would be to us to draft a resolution saying the county should pay us also, and maybe when the mayor goes to the ICC can have, you know, say what Franklin's planning on potentially doing. Is that what you're looking at, Alderman Olson, from yesterday?
Is
there a second to the motion?
Second. Just make sure.
Okay, under discussion, Alderman Olson. Oh.
What?
I thought you wanted to work on this also.
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
Okay. You work as usual. Short way.
All right. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item C, Milwaukee County Change of Administrative Authority, Milwaukee County Correctional Facilities. I'm going to recognize Alderman Olson, but before I do, I did ask the city clerk if she would be kind enough to go back through the records to find that report that I was referring to, the National Institute of Corrections Technical Assistance Project Final Report. So here it is. And I do have two copies of it.
It'll be dated 1/25/08.
December 20th, 2009. And there was Franklin County Council, Inspector Schmidt, there's some, and John Nelson and Nancy Evans to report. There's some minutes to that. So I'll ask the clerk if she'd be kind enough to maybe make some copies for all the aldermen for tomorrow. So, do you want me to return? No.
Question?
Question.
And then there's also item. Same thing? Oh, it is. It's, I have two copies. No? Oh. Okay. So, with that, I'll recognize Alderman Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. By the way, the 125-08 report was the report that said close this place. That's what that was, as opposed to what you got. Three-part motion, Mr. Mayor. First part of the motion is to authorize the mayor to communicate the common council concern about the operation and oversight of the correctional facility to the county board and the county executive at his earliest convenience. In anticipation of, second part of the motion, development by staff of a proposed resolution expressing our concern as a resolution with the activities of the county board and county executive relative to the operations of the house. And then third, at your request, to request that the chief of police convene the community safety response task force to discuss the proposed resolution and offer recommendation to this common council with the goal of having this completed by the end of June.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Any further?
Is that what you want?
Yes. Only that I would I would ask for the assistance of the staff and the creation of the letter to the board and to the exec. But I have it. I guess I would also look for some assistance from you, Alderman Olson, because of the history on this.
I do have a history with you. Yes.
I asked the police chief to be here, so that's why they're sitting here tonight, because he's the chairman of that committee. But I also asked him to be here if you had questions for him, because when we have the escapes or things of that nature, it's his department that is the one that needs to respond. And many times, as you know, these types of things require tons of overtime. Take our police officers away from their normal routine duties. But I guess, Chief, if you wouldn't mind, a Gaylor or two, maybe? So. Gaylor, were you here at the opening of the House of Correction?
Nice.
Is that a compliment or a dig?
He said he was from Franklin.
Politely.
The reporter was asking that question. Just for the record, if you could please state your name for the record.
Rick Oliva, Chief of Police of the City of Franklin.
My questions are the how you were involved with me and others when we had the escape out there, and you had lots and lots of discussions with the management of the House of Correction and then also the Sheriff's Department. And I guess I'm looking for your opinion on the what was in place prior to the sheriff versus whether the sheriff, under the sheriff, it was a more secure facility and more cooperation and things of that nature.
Yeah, well, certainly prior to the sheriff's department's control of the House of Correction, there were some severe security lapses and process procedure, and certainly some personnel issues that probably all led to that particular escape. There was a national study done of this facility that identified a number of problems there, and from all accounts, the sheriff, when he took over, took care of all those issues and problems, and from what I'm aware of, it's a well-run department or well-run facility at this point, where I don't think there's any concern, any major concern of an escape or the control of that facility. So it certainly would be a concern if they went back to the old system. The key was would be who gets appointed to that facility and what type of management they're going to provide. You know, anything less than they're doing now would be a concern.
I think after the escape, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought that there was a series of conversations with the management of the House of Correction as to trying to develop a notification system for the people in the area. That I think there were some concerns that you had as to what was going to be put in place and how they were going to put it in place, and communications between the departments. And, I don't know if you were off working with Evans at that time. Or
yes, we had communications, and we did come to an understanding. We do have a procedure in place. If a escape occurred in the future, that there would be timely notification to our department and coordination of response. So that has been taken care of.
I guess the other question I have, this really is for Gaylord. So, Gaylord Hahn, Inspector of the Police Department. My understanding is when the House of Correction was first put in place, and I know you weren't around in the 1800s, but...
thank you.
Everybody knows I'm kidding.
Not much compliments.
Well, Gaylord grew up here. But my understanding is when the House of Correction was first put out there, it was for that purpose. It was for people that, you know, they had some social problems. It wasn't high risk. I don't know that there was barbed wire around it or anything like that. It was just a place where people had maybe committed some misdemeanor crimes and things like that. And people worked on the farm. And now it's on occasion there's some fairly serious criminals in that facility. So, and I think it was a small farm, wasn't it?
Yes, that's correct. Many of the inmates were on working out on the farm itself, and most, if not all, at that time, they were all under less than a year in jail, so they were all misdemeanors. None of them were any type of felons or awaiting trial or anything like that.
I mean, I think if you went anyplace else in the country and you walked in there and you started looking at the register of the people, the inmates that are in there, people would not say it's a House of Correction, they'd say it's a jail. So, I mean, I've been through there many, many times, and I think some of the aldermen have too. There's, you know, that's it's been a far departure from what was first envisioned. Am I sort of correct? I didn't live here, so. Alderman Schmidt?
Well, having grown up on that street, my school bus went by there every day, and they used to give tours of the facility. My mom went to it and saw even how they had their own dairy farming and everything. And it was considered more of a work farm, so. There were no berms, there were no barbed wire. Even in the 60s, the Franklin Recreation Department was using their softball diamonds because we didn't have any in the city, so they were working with the correctional facility just to have a softball league there. So it was, through the 50s and 60s, it was a much lower level of type of people who were incarcerated there, and they technically had the option, they could have walked off the farm and walked away. Nobody was worried about him. So it was definitely a...
That's basically how it was. They were walkaways. And one that escaped was just a walkaway.
Right.
I just walked off the farm.
Or try some words.
Oh, but also...
Well, the concern that we need to express is that, in at least my view, and I think my colleagues share it, it is more likely than not, you've heard those words before, that we will experience an event, a walkaway, in the political vernacular, an escape in our vernacular, of a fairly serious offender. Anytime in the future, should that facility not be run by a paramilitary organization? And that's my concern. That security and attitude towards security diminishes as the organization and rigors of a paramilitary organization get removed from that facility, much as it has in the past. Having said that, we now have the Huber... the work release people coming down here. I'd like to know if we've had any incidents because of that. And any data that we have on record, and I don't want to make this a big research project, but to support the cost of us in 08 looking for that guy. We had, that was you, Ms. Kendall. Was it you?
In 08, it was. We had one in 08, but there was a major one, I understand, prior.
That's when the helicopters were.
Yeah.
07 is the So, yeah. Whatever you can find quickly and easily to support our costs on that. Because, let's face it, if the county's going to cheap up on the administration and operation of that, we're going to burn some cost. I want that.
This is a cost upper in the budget.
Sorry.
This was a cost upper. This is a levy increase in the budget doing this change.
And our budget or theirs?
County's budget.
Yeah.
County's budget.
Right.
So, I mean, they're not doing it cheaper. It's costing more money to do what they're doing and take it away from the sheriff.
And, clerk, could you read back the motion, please?
This will be fun.
Alderman Olson moved to authorize the mayor to communicate the common council's concerns relating to the operation of the Maumee County Correctional Facility South and include the development by staff of a proposed resolution expressing the concern of the activities of the Maumee County Board and County Executive of the Maumee County Correctional Facility South, and further that the police chief initiate the meeting with the task force to discuss the proposed resolution accomplished prior to the end of January 2015.
Okay. All right, any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all
was it seconded?
It was seconded by Alderman Taylor.
Okay.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Gaylord. Thank you, Inspector Hunt. Don't stop me now on the highway. H.
Yes.
Okay, H. Alderman Solomon.
The license committee is not responsible for spelling errors.
Oh, gee whiz.
Since when?
Yeah,
I saw that. Now, Jarrah, hold until 2-6-13 or pending paperwork is received by the city clerk's office. I'll call Connie tomorrow on that one, whether what we're looking for. Young approved the letter. Kowalski approved the letter. Gagliano approved. McGinnis approved. Wagner approved. All of the... I'm just going to go through these one at a time. Fleet Reserve approved. Franklin Historical Society approved. Lioness Lions and Lions Club. Franklin Park Concerts, they're all approved on the first page. Second page, Police Department approved. Forest Park Middle School approved pending paperwork completion and insurance. Knights of Columbus approve bending budget. Rams Club approve. Safety City approve. St. Martin's of Tours approve pending insurance. St. Paul's Lutheran School approve. VFW Post approve. Victory of the Lamb approve pending insurance. Xavier Ministries approve pending insurance.
All right, so we move to second. Any further discussion? Alderman Olson and Alderman Solomon.
I think I ask about this every year. The Rams Club, Rainbow Arrow Models, Modeler Society is a charitable benevolent association comprised of our rules. That seems like a stretch for me.
Are you asking that?
I will vote. I would like to divide the question, so I may vote.
Okay. There's a request to divide the question. Any objections? Seeing none on that, we will do that. Alderman Solomon.
There is some concern by the license committee that the 501(c)(3)s are not available for us to look at. Some of these don't appear to be 501(c)(3) proof. In other words, the documentation that's required is lacking from some of these folders. So we would like to, I don't want to give the city clerk's office more work than they're required to do, but there seems to be a gap in some of these. Some are recognizable, but whether they're 501(c)(3)s and or that type of an organization remains to be.
Do you need something from like the Secretary of State's office?
And 501(c)(3) officially requires a letter of determination from the IRS.
Right.
And what is in the packets I'm seeing are Form 990s, which are state statute tax exemption forms, and different types of forms, articles of incorporation. None of those are all things you need to have once you are a nonprofit. But it's actually the letter of determination with the EIN number, which shows that. Some of them are obvious that that's what they are, but other ones could require some more. Now, I didn't spend the time looking all the way back in every single one of them, but I did check through a couple of them, and it was a little bit questionable if this was a proper form or not.
Madam Clerk?
I would ask that you remove all of them from your motion. You can refer them to the next meeting. We still have time.
Sounds good to me.
Next year, and we will look into each of them.
The one I looked at was the VFW post. Stuff's not there.
Just refer them to get it right.
We'll just do them all.
Do you want to rescind your motion?
I'll rescind my motion.
Okay.
All of the grants are forwarded to the next council meeting.
Is there a second?
Second.
So seconded for discussion. Seeing none, all in favor, just signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. You have before you a list of vouchers from November 19th, 2012. Numbers 145036 through 145086. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Sure.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman
aye.
Taylor. Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Skronsky.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. You have vouchers in the ranges of 145087 through numbers 145352 in front of you. Is there a motion to approve?
So
is there a second? Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skronsky.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman
aye.
Taylor. Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Olson.
Sure.
All right, six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. You have before you the payroll dated November 16th, 2012. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman
Skronsky.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. You have the payroll dated November 30th in front of you. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skronsky.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
No move.
Oh, wait. Six ayes, no noes. I have a motion carries. A motion to adjourn.
Second.
It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, I just have a motion carries. We're adjourned.